The ritual level is a stage which actually comes into being, just like a mask, something which is physiologically there. And just the same way, for symbol, the self is a stage. The self is not an ambiguity. Though it is ambidextrous, it is not ambiguous. Just because you have to see it in a balanced mode for you to really see it does not mean that it is not there or is only there in approximate probability ambiguity. When one looks with the equanimity that you are capable of, the self is as real as a mask would be. It has universal physical properties that are appropriate to it. One of them is the absolute equanimity of energy. And in art, the person. Notice here that the person as a stage is quite real. Not squishy, approximate, kind of kaleidoscopic, changing, punk rocker person. In actuality, that kaleidoscopic, squishy, punk rocker person is definitely that kind of person. And just in that way, persons are quite real, just like masks, just like cells are real. And so too in science. Only in science does the spirit become real. A real thing, if I can use that term with the quotation marks. The spirit is not just a far-flung hope, but is definite physiological reality. Just as real as any, quote, thing that you would expect to find. So these four, science, ritual, symbol, art, are the stable stages. Once you reach one of these stages, you can live on those stages. They're like realms, which are way stations on the spectrum of existence where life can go on. There are levels where there's relative safety and stability, although there's still interplay there. The other four are transformational media. They do not occur as stages, but they are what we would call, using the language which is appropriate to state, they are in fact phases. So that nature and myth and magic and history are phases, and they correlate with the four functions: sensation, feeling, insight, and thinking. Now, the ancient Pythagorean way of presenting this, and we still have enough evidence from Empedocles' cosmic cycle from about 450 BC, one of the greatest of all the early Pythagoreans, to understand this. This is 50 years before Socrates died. Empedocles' cosmic cycle being written down. We know that there were four elements: earth, air, water, and fire. Earth, air, water, and fire. But there were also four phases, four qualities which were phases that were complementary to them. What were they? Moist and dry, hot and cold. And that if you put the square of the one with the diamond of the other in that eightfold quality, you have the original Pythagorean presentation of the Hermetic unity. Each element, like fire, is the juxtaposition of two phases. Fire, in this case, be heat and dryness. so that fire occurs not as a thing, but as a juxtaposition woven of two phases. When you weave heat and dryness together, that is fire. When you weave cold and moist together, that is water. So that even 2,500 years ago, one could understand, the elements are not static. Nobody but a fool would ever think that things are static, especially universal qualities. The Greek term was ousia, substance. Instead, what we call things emerge out of an inner penetration. It's the inner penetration that makes the fabric, and the fabric occurs to us as a thing. So that the square and the diamond always go together, and when you know that eightfold quality, that agdod, then you are free from the tyranny of being trapped within those forms. When you're trapped within the forms, you have no way to conceive of the fullness of the wholeness. And so you are subject to the strings of the manipulative stages and manipulative phases within the process and the stages itself. In other words, you are trapped in the nature and not free from the nature to conceive it as an all, as a whole. You can see that the perfect squelch, the two-bit magician thinks that he is safe from the devil if he stays within the pentagram. Whereas the hermetic truth is that's exactly where you are subject to the demonic energies. That's exactly it. When Dr. Faustus summons the devil, he does it under the counsel of Mephistopheles and his Mephistophelian books of magic. And so he stays within that little diagram. One is staying within the magic conduit of that exact demonic energy. What do you do when you're being struck by lightning? You ground it. You walk outside the form. And to break the form, you not only achieve your liberty, but your liberty is consonant with grounding that demonic energy. It has no effect anymore at all. When the form is broken, if you mispronounce the word, the magic energy isn't there. It's a peculiarity, but probably many a magician saved themselves because they had a lisp. Let's take a break. So following from what we have looked at this morning, you can see how this mandala has its invisible structure, which is not denoted there by the graphics of the Mac Plus. There is the diamond and the square, which also occur. And I left them off so that you can see, rather in a very realistic way, that the shape of those wholenesses occurs not on the page, but in the composing eye. Those are not forms that are on the page of life, but are in the composing eye of consciousness. The great American photographer Edward Weston said, "Composition is the strongest way of seeing." So that the hermetic way is to see or hear with the composing eye or ear. Now, what is amazing, what is mysterious in the upnos is that when you see or hear with the composing eye or ear, the mind awakens. Just as the mind functions as a response to a stimulus via the image, the mind now responds to the structure of nature via the symbol. And the mind no longer is filled with images, but is filled, if I may, with ideas, with strategies for living, as one poetic soul phrased it. You are no longer grasping nature in terms of things to be able to think and be conscious and live. But you're holding the wholeness of it very lightly so that the wholeness can occur and living on that level. And because there's such a primordial difference in quality, we can no longer use the term response. On the image level, the mind has a response to the stimulus of nature. But on the idea level, the mind has a resonance through the symbol with the structure of nature. And what is very mysterious is that the hands become, in Jacob Bronowski's excellent phrase, the cutting edge of the mind. It turns out that the body is extremely important in the real, not a throwaway container at all. That's not it at all. The body is not a thing. It is a manifestation of the mind. And the hands become, and Bronowski's excellent phrase, the cutting edge of the mind. You're able to do, to not only to grasp, but to move in a mobile way what you can touch. This is healing. The ability to do this, the capacity to live in this way is healing. Whatever you do is literally then not grasping, but laying on of hands. One moves not in a profane way, gimme, I need it, but one moves in a sacred way, flourish. Be well. I'm with you. One learns this archaic secret that because we can do this, because we can change in this radical way, it's like the demonstration of of the spirituality of the body. The body is not profane at all. The reductionistic mind profanes the body. The body is not profane. Because the body requires nourishment and care and excretion and sweat and all that. That does not make profanity. None of that is profane. But the mind that reduces it and in a reductionistic way debases it, that's profane. So we have this mandala, which you can take a look at, and you can make the diamond of the four functions, and you can make the square of the wholeness of the unfolded person. Each stage has a corresponding process. Each stage has a corresponding process. But if you saw the whole ecology, you would see that each stage is there by virtue of two processes that dovetail. Just like the ancient Greek element fire occurs when heat and dryness dovetail. So too, nature and history together make science. Science is not just a stage which comes out of the historical process, but the historical process dovetailing with the natural process makes science. Nature and history as an interfacing patterning allows for science to occur. That's the way to talk exactly about this. And just in the same way, ritual occurs when nature and myth interface. Symbol occurs when magic and myth interface. And art occurs when magic and history interface. So if one is going to be accurate, one can say that the person is the focus of magic and history. That's what a human being is, as a person. And if one could only realize the full extent of that, the resonant beauty of that, you could see how delightfully wonder-filled a human person is. Mixing magic and history is a potent combination. So that's one way to read this mandala of our Saturday process. Now you can see that if you just thought about this, if you were just told about this, if someone were just given this diagram and then given the ideas, that you would miss the whole point. You would co-opt this whole development into something which you can just posit in your mind, and then it's co-opted only in the thinking function. And it won't fly. You have to unfold it and put it into an aerodynamic shape for it to fly. In other words, it won't live. An idea this powerful, even if understood, would enslave the individual and tyrannize the society. This is the most powerful idea that we're likely to run across. Why is it? Because it is the structural order of wholeness. This is the actual diagram of how the structure of wholeness occurs, how it happens, how it develops. This, on its comprehensive level, is pretty much like the double helix in DNA. Once you can understand this, there's no end of where you can go with it. Then you can develop yourself and others quite accurately, and you can see the results. The results are there. Now, in a parallel way, in a kind of like a analog way, let's go to microbiology. Let's go to one of our texts, which is very difficult for you to find or to pay for or to even think about, the molecular biology of the cell. Right away, on page 8, the key is that the form, the structural form of wholeness of the cell is there by virtue of a membrane. We talked about this last week, how the membrane is the key to the cell. it allows for the form to be kept, but for the form to be kept in such a way that the defining perimeter of the form is permeable to processes at strategic junctures. And we talked about how the junctures of exchange in the cell through the membranes or through ionic channels. And this Bertil Hille has done an excellent job of from the University of Washington, and just a wonderful job in this book, Ionic Channels of Excitable Membranes. And it is spelled out in a microbiological way exactly what happens. There are no doorways in the cell. The ionic channels are not there by virtue of little doorways, but they're there because of sensitivity spots that allow for transformational exchange. Once one understands that as a principle, you can see that this indeed is the arch key in the understanding of the ecology of the life process. The cell, as the entity, is the basic building block of all life, organic life. But the ionic channels in the membranes of the cell are the exact place where the trigger of practicality happens. So when we come to page 8 of the Molecular Biology of the Cell, and we start reading, under the paragraph title, Membranes Define the First Cell, the first sentence in this will divulge to us a structural consideration in biochemistry, which immediately we're faced with. It's like as soon as you open your eyes to the importance of the membrane, the profundity of the cell, the importance of the membrane, the necessity to understand ionic channels, a whole informational spectrum suddenly is before your eyes that you didn't realize that you needed to know about. Here's the first sentence and you get it right away. The appearance of protein synthesis controlled by nucleic acids was no doubt one of the crucial events leading to the formation of the first cell. The appearance of protein synthesis controlled by nucleic acids was no doubt one of the crucial events leading to the formation of the first cell. What does DNA do? It gives the template readout of protein synthesis. Out of all the hundreds of books, I put this one in the library because it seems to have a wonderfully insightful collection of articles. This is Protein and Nucleic Acid Structure and Dynamics. And I realize that these books are usually not in libraries. The only libraries they're in are technical libraries, and they're not going to be for sale. They're not in paper, and so I brought them here so that you could have access to the original documents as much as possible to these great developments and perspectives. And this is a collection of articles, and you will find. It's separated into three parts. The first part are articles on protein structure. The second part on nucleic acid structure, protein structure, nucleic acid structure. And then the third part, protein-nucleic acid interactions. Notice the hermetic triad. You have two hands, and you bring them together, and you have a prayer. That's the archetype of spiritual activity. You have a protein structure, you have a nucleic acid structure, and they interact, and you have life. It's as fluidly simple as that. It's astounding. I mean, your hair stands on end when you realize how God-loved simple reality really is. And you can see why human beings in all cultures have always held the insight that reality must be fairly simple. There must be a few basics that are necessary, but that it isn't labyrinthianly complex. All human religious insight has always known there is a way to understand. Okay, let's come to this and read for a few sentences. Molecular Biology of the Cell, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Membranes define the first cell. The appearance of protein synthesis, controlled by nucleic acids, was no doubt one of the crucial events. Okay, you've got a protein structure, which are the things. They're the stages. Then you have the DNA structure, which is the transformational processes. When the processes and the things, when the phases and the stages come together and interreact, you have life. You have the actuality. What is reality? Two structures, a process structure and a stage structure coming into a unity. That's very, very simple. It is, if anything is archetypal, that is. In other words, the table of contents of this contemporary science book, without them knowing anything about the Hermetic tradition. None of these people know one thing about it. But in their honesty, they disclose exactly what is truthful so that we could understand it. It's like an ancient demonstration. The good person recognizes the good work, no matter who has done it, where or when. There it is. God loved those people. They did it right. Let's start again. This is the fourth time. Now we can read it through. Membranes define the first cell. The appearance of protein synthesis, controlled by nucleic acids, was no doubt one of the crucial events leading to the formation of the first cell and all other cells. Another must have been the development of an outer membrane. Notice what we talked about this morning, the two processes working together, and then it hermetically seals. You can't do one first and then do the other. It's not a 1-2 punch. The 1-2 punch is ineffective. If you lead with your left and you cross with your right, the only thing you can do with that is hurt someone. If you bring the left and right together in a prayer, you can do whatever you want to do. What did Jesus say? Faith moves mountains. It moves whole star systems. But there's a technical angle to it. The techne, the Greek term techne, is the art of it. The art of it. So there's protein synthesis controlled by nucleic acid structure brought into interface, and at the same time the development of membranes, so that this whole double quality is happening together, both processes at the same time. The protein synthesized under the control of a certain species of RNA would not facilitate reproduction of that species of RNA unless they were retained in the neighborhood of the RNA. RNA is messenger DNA. There has to be something there to receive what the RNA messenger is delivering. The RNA is very much like the Spiritus Mercurius. The RNA brings the message, but there has to be someone there to receive that message in consonance with the tone of the message. You have to have a receiver that's sensitive to the frequency of the message. Otherwise, nothing happens. And it isn't just that there is an ambiguous dispersal of the receiver. The receiver is quite localized. To the actuality of a point. Not a point in the naive sense, but in the original Pythagorean, Alexandrian, Euclidean sense, a point is a locus without dimension. Then you have the geometry of meaning, of life. Then you can begin to understand, oh, that's how it is. And that must be then how I am. As a very powerful meditation. The protein synthesized under the control of a certain species of RNA would not facilitate reproduction of that species of RNA unless they were retained in the neighborhood of the RNA. Moreover, as long as these proteins were free to diffuse among the population of replicating RNA molecules, they could benefit equally any competing species of RNA that might be present. If a variant RNA arose that made a superior type of enzyme, the new enzyme could not contribute selectively to the survival of the variant RNA in competition with its fellows. Selection of RNA molecules according to the quality of the proteins that they generated could not begin until some form of compartment evolved to contain the proteins made by an RNA molecule and thereby make these proteins primarily available for its own use. What is that that occurs then? It's called, in molecular biology, a plasma membrane. All present-day cells are surrounded by a plasma membrane composed of phospholipids and proteins. Sometimes, because molecular biologists, like everyone else, don't just talk about phospholipids, sometimes there are other kinds, they call them lipids. The generic term, lipids. So that when you come to the primary textbook published in 1985, Biochemistry of Lipids and Membranes. You can see I've selected these out so that they give you the structure of the development in its fullness at all the strategic points. All present-day cells are surrounded by plasma membrane composed of phospholipids and proteins. In the electron microscope, such membranes appear as sheets about 7 nanometers thick. Notice how exacting science is. What's the thickness of a plasma membrane? 7 nanometers. 7? Not 6? Not 8? Nanometers. Can you see how fine and exacting the spirit is? It's one of the indications that science is the spirit in action. With a distinctive three-layered appearance. It's like when you recognize the structural signpost, you can go into 1990 science laboratories and your tongue goes out. There it is. Because there is no one more voracious than God at work for real. He really does it right. To use an old colloquial phrase, it's probably sexually out of date. But nevertheless, you understand the term. Such plasma membranes appear as sheets about 7 nanometers thick with a distinctive 3-layer appearance due to the tail-to-tail packing of the phospholipid molecules. Tail-to-tail means dovetailed. Interlocking. Yes, they're like pieces of a puzzle, but it's a living puzzle. The pieces are not contiguous so much as they're interlocking. The ancient Greek symbol of this were the interlocking squares. Those kinds of whirlpool-like shapes that were squares that interlocked so that they formed a long line. That's the golden hermetic chain. Frank Lloyd Wright took that as his basic symbol of building. So that in the experience, not in the inside of the structure, but in the experience of what the structure discloses, one experiences continuity. One experiences, as Henri Bergson would say, duration. You experience time as a flow. And thus, your experience is in the mode of a stream of consciousness, as William James would have said, and quite accurately so. So that experience occurs as a stream of consciousness by virtue of the interlocking, eternal dovetailing of the elements in the structure. They both occur together. Okay, let's continue our little esoteric philosophy from page 10 of Microbiology of the Cell. A distinctive 3-layered appearance due to the tail-to-tail packing of the phospholipid molecules. Artificial membranes with a very similar appearance can be made in the test tube by mixing phospholipids and water together. Under suitable conditions, such artificial membranes round up into closed vesicles with diameters between 1 and 10 mu-meters. Although very much larger and yet than nanometers, but very small yet. Although these vesicles are inert, like soap bubbles, it is easy to imagine that by enclosing a distinct population of molecules, they could form a spatially isolated functional unit. In other words, in a test tube, you can make a semblance of the structure of life. The spatial structure is akin to it, but they're static. They don't move. They don't have any temporality to them. What's missing in the test tube is there's no time. When life makes these plasma membranes, time is there incorporated with them. They're time-space occurrences and not just spatial creations. It has been postulated, just to finish this up, it has been postulated that the first cell was formed when phospholipid molecules in the prebiotic soup spontaneously assembled into such membranous structures enclosing a self-replicating mixture of RNA and protein molecules. Now, right here, in this paragraph, at this exact point, all you have to do to satisfy the fundamental creationists is to show them this paragraph and this sentence. The key word here is spontaneous. Spontaneously assembled. It's a revelation. This is a world standard textbook on the cutting edge of science. When you grind this fine and you get to where is the trigger pulled? The trigger is pulled spontaneously. The Tao of microbiology. Now we can grind as far as nanometers, and we can see exactly that the occurrence begins with a spontaneity. Not only that the first one did, all of them do. I say to you that you are spontaneous down to your molecular level. Your spontaneity is not just a cultural learned norm. It's not just because some Zen master has taught you this or not. It's that every plasma membrane on every cell in your body is familiar with spontaneity as its genesis. Malcolm X used to say, "I speak as strong as I do because I speak from the bottom of my feet." Well, I tell you, I speak as I do because every plasma membrane and every living cell in the star system echoes spontaneous. You don't have to shout it at all. You don't have to shout revolution. You just have to whisper truth once. Once sealed within a closed membrane, RNA molecules could begin to evolve. In other words, now one has the crucible. The cell is the crucible of life. Once sealed within a closed membrane, RNA molecules could begin to evolve not merely on the basis of their own structure, but also according to the proteins they could make. The nucleotide sequences of the RNA molecules could now become expressed in the character of the cell as a whole. This is the art of molecular biology. They mean express, just like artistic expression. I'm going to leave it there and not belabor it, but I think that you can see that there's an enormous, comprehensive intelligence available. Two things. There are two books which you could probably find and buy or order. This one from Cambridge University Press on the lively membranes is about $11. And this one by lovable Linus Pauling, The Architecture of Molecules from the Freeman Company. And I'll leave these out here. And I'm sure that both these are somehow available. Pauling, in a beautiful way, always makes nice little chalkboard diagrams and succinct single-page and sometimes single-paragraph drawings so that you can see what are molecules. This one, number 39, the hydrogen bond. Here's one, number 42, the structure of a dense form of ice. So, there are those. Now, can you take just one more step? I don't want to stretch your minds to where you start to imagine. I want you to be able to, in a considerable, calm way, to understand that this is not science fiction, it's quite true. Is happening. This microbiological intelligence is developing at the same time as a physics intelligence is developing.